There's a huge trend right now on YouTube of creators that are saying, okay, I want to create because I want to create. Recently, there's been a huge trend with a lot of YouTubers quitting the platform. And so it's kind of created another layer of the people that are kind of remaining, or they have decided, I'm stepping away from how I've been doing it and I'm stepping more into authenticity. And so it's really shifting the way things are going. So if anything, now is the perfect time to get started on YouTube.
Welcome to the Influence by Design podcast. I'm Samantha Riley, authority positioning strategist for coaches and experts. If you're ready to build a business that gives you more than just a caffeine addiction, and you dream of making more money, having more time, and having the freedom to be living your best life, then you're in the right place. It's time to level up.
Welcome to this episode of Influenced by Design. I'm your host, Samantha Riley, and I'm very excited to be welcoming Amanda Horvath to the show today. I've invited her to talk about YouTube, and this is going to be really interesting because I posted in my 2024 predictions that long form video was out and short form is in. So let's see where this episode goes. Amanda, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me. Super excited to dive in and nerd out about YouTube. It's my jam.
Absolutely. Now, I've been wanting to have someone on this show for ages talking about YouTube. Interesting that the number one episode that you listened to prepare was my 2024 predictions. But also, I trust that the universe gave us this information for this conversation. Let's start off by talking about why YouTube? Why is that your platform of choice? How did you get into it? And just give us a bit of context before we dive into this topic.
Absolutely. So for me, YouTube is a no-brainer compared to all the other ones. With Instagram, TikTok, even LinkedIn and Facebook, you're running on the hamster wheel trying to keep up. You post something, tomorrow it's irrelevant. Even within the next hour, it's irrelevant. With YouTube, you're building a database that works for you even when you're sleeping. The first video that I created on the platform still is bringing leads to my business today. And so when I was thinking about, okay, how do I want to come out online and which platform do I want to use? It was a very obvious choice. Now, in addition to that, YouTube also pays creators so much more than all the other platforms, right? Mm-hmm. So it has the best ad revenue potential as well. And then obviously it's owned by Google, which is incredible from a search-based perspective as well as from an SEO perspective. And so from a discovery opportunity, especially before TikTok was around, which I started in 2018, TikTok was not a thing, I don't think by then, at least it wasn't as popular. I don't think it was a thing at all.
I think it was called Musical.ly back then.
Okay. But it was not yet the world that we know today. And
no.
So it was just a no-brainer for me from that lens.
Yeah. I love that it is evergreen. And I think that that is definitely one of the benefits of it, as you're saying, because it even though, so this is really interesting, I actually do a lot of my searching on TikTok, but when I'm preparing for an interview, I jump to YouTube. So I use the platforms very differently. I also have been told by a lot of people that unless you're willing to go fully into YouTube, that it's a platform that's really hard to get any sort of traction on. Can you talk a little bit to that?
Absolutely. And I think that is one of the reasons why people will get stuck on the hamster wheel of TikTok, Instagram, Facebook. It's the immediate gratification of a post getting likes, right? We have been building our followings on these different platforms for quite some time, even if you're not a influencer, right? Meet someone at a party. Hey, yeah, are you on Instagram? That's been the case for a long time. Before that, all the way back to middle school for me, maybe even high school, was Facebook, right? Oh, let's be Facebook friends. So we've been building our network on all these different platforms for a while. YouTube, you start and you're a nobody. And they value the established channels, unlike TikTok, which is definitely valuing the new creator.
Yeah.
Or just in general, creators, period. Right? It doesn't matter who you are. YouTube is definitely an all-in, two-feet-in, make-it-happen kind of platform, and it does take a while to get traction. I did not deny that. Like, it took me 6 months to hit 500 subscribers, a year to hit 1,200 subscribers. And then I think it was around, I started in 2018, in June of 2018, and when I started 2020, you know, I had 4,400 subscribers and I ended with 22,000. So the growth can be exponential, but it doesn't happen overnight. And that can be very discouraging to a lot of people.
Mind you, 500 subscribers in 6 months, I think that's more than decent. I think that's awesome. So I don't know, maybe that's just my older part of me coming out. There's like, oh, I don't really want a million subscribers in, you know, in 2 months on TikTok. How did you get the traction to get 500 subscribers in 6 months? Because I'm sure there's plenty of people listening that going, if I knew I could get 500 subscribers in 6 months, I'd go all in.
Absolutely. So I am an investigator. I take courses. I value standing on the shoulders of giants. So anything that I do, I buy a book on it. I take a course. I hire a coach of some sort. Like, I am not the person that is going to be like, I know it all. And so when I started with YouTube, I very much did the same thing. I dove deep into the world of how do you actually grow on YouTube? And the coach at the time that I had signed up for her course was Sunny Leonarduzzi. And she had a course called YouTube for Bosses at the time. Now she has a different program. And it was very much around like search-based traffic. And I knew what I wanted to do. That's another challenge that a lot of people face being creators online is like, I don't know what to do, which I resonate with because I've had that more recent dilemma. But at the time I knew I was a videographer shooting and editing videos for clients. I had climbed my way up the ladder and was working with dream clients. And I also wanted to be a mom at some point in my future. And I knew that I wanted to be able to have the choice to stay at home. And the career that I had set up for myself was very much an S-type business where I was self-employed, trading time for money, putting in the hours, putting in the grind, managing subcontractors. And I knew I had to somehow figure out how to escape that time for money trap. So my goal was to give people the opportunity to just film videos themselves, which at the time was revolutionary. Okay. Now you hear it and it's like, yeah, no, no duh. But I remember convincing people you even need video in the first place. Right. And so it was, hey, learn how to shoot on your iPhone. So I very much started from that lens of how to create videos without breaking the bank or taking up tons of your time. And I was honed in on that being my proposition. And I was very specifically focused on what would my ideal customers be searching for that I can create a video on, and then they can discover me. And it takes time before those videos really get ranked, before they really get discovered, before they show up in suggested videos and all of that. But it was highly strategic from the very beginning.
When you say strategic, are you speaking about the way that you construct the videos or the way that you grew the channel or both?
Both. I would say from the lens of how the videos themselves were structured according to what was working at the time on the platform, as well as how the videos were titled, the thumbnail strategy, and the keyword strategy, which was a huge deal back then. It is becoming less and less of a big deal, I would say, depending on your strategy on YouTube, as Google AI gets smarter and smarter, right? It's less needed. But yeah, at the time, like, doing keyword research of, okay, how many people are searching for promotional video script? Oh, 1,000 people a month might be searching for that. What about how to write a promotional video script? Okay, that's a little bit less competitive. Maybe I can do that one and see if I can rank for it, right? And just kind of playing with the different concepts like that. So very much strategy being keyword research at the time and the packaging of the video.
Yeah. And the tools that you use for that?
Yes. So I will caveat this by saying the world of YouTube is massively changing today. And I've learned a lot since getting started with this. So the tools are, I personally have used TubeBuddy for keyword research. It allows you to type in a keyword into Google or into YouTube specifically, and it will tell you, oh, this is a 98 out of 100 score based on how many people are searching for it and how many videos have been created on this topic. And you, through being intuitive, thinking about what people could search for, as well as just using common sense, sometimes you'll get a 98 and it's like the longest keyword that no one's going to be searching for. So you have to use a little bit of common sense. You can find kind of like the top ones and get, ideally find the sweet spot between a lot of people searching, but not a lot of competition.
Okay, so your strategy was keyword research, find those topics, then record those topics. Now, I don't know much about YouTube here, but I do know that there's some sort of process or script or template. I don't know how you want to sort of talk about this, of the way to construct a YouTube video, because you just see everyone following this same sort of format, I guess.
Absolutely.
Okay, this is the part of YouTube that I don't like. The way that it just gets dragged out so much. And I'm a D-type personality. I'm just like, get on with it. What can you talk about in regards to the format? Why does it need to be so stretched out? And when it is, why is there not a problem with people worried about the drop-off? Because obviously the algorithm also wants people to stay on the platform or on the video for as long as possible.
Absolutely. So it's a great point. And you did mention that in your 2024 predictions as well, in terms of like when you watch a YouTube video, the older strategy was one that I would use for many, many years, for maybe 5 years, was you repeat the title. Right? So how to write a promotional video script. In this video, I'm going to tell you how to write a promotional video script. And then you introduce yourself, right? I'm Amanda. And on this channel, I help you, you know, create videos without breaking the bank or taking up tons of your time. So be sure to subscribe, right? And so all that, eventually the viewer, what always happens is that we as a collective get savvy to the marketing tactics that people are using. And I think we're in another one of those phases of things breaking down right now. And this is one of those on YouTube. It was really around this time last year, in January of last year, that the intro and the hook and repeating your title, those things started to kind of disappear. And it very much became, at least that's when I personally was like, this is a thing. I need to stop doing this. Because I did see a value to repeating who you are in every single video, because it builds your brand and it gives someone a reason to subscribe, right? Mm-hmm. Even if it doesn't matter what the topic is, it doesn't matter how out of like how specific or niche or whatever that topic is, I'm going to teach you how to edit in Premiere Pro. But my whole thing is this, right? It kind of set things up in a certain way. Now, because of, you know, the attention spans getting smaller and smaller with TikTok, it's very much get into the content of your video, give a tip as fast as possible. And, you know, if at the end of the video, you want to do a call to action to subscribe or like the comment, like the video, once they've really gotten value from you, then you could put it at that point. So the scripting structure, I would say, has definitely changed pretty significantly from when I started.
Do you think this is because of the AI that you mentioned before, the Google AI, is able to pick up the context of the video and we don't need to rely on those old sort of tactics of sort of stuffing in those words?
To a degree, I think that is definitely a part of it. Google will now look at images within your video. So if you're standing in front of a grocery store and you're talking about how to grocery shop, that gives you like an extra boost in the video. If you're talking about, you know, DJI wireless mics that happen to be sitting on my desk, right? And I show it in the video, Google is like, oh, look at that. Like, and so that is reaffirming what is actually the content of the video. So it, yeah, it's really incredibly smart, including like analyzing colors and what is being said in the video and all of those things. So I think that that is a part of it, but I also think it also comes down to TikTok revolutionized content creation across the board.
Okay. For people that are listening that are wondering if it's still worth starting a YouTube channel, or if they've got a YouTube channel there that's kind of sitting there and not doing much, how much thought should be put into really paying attention to this platform right now?
So I'm really big into following your inner knowing. And for me personally, like I felt a call to YouTube. For 2 years, I had this voice that was like, you should get on video. You should get on video. And I would ignore it, put it in the background. And so I think first and foremost, I want to start there. I don't think everyone should be a creator, right? I don't think everyone should be out there. I think it has to start with that call. And then secondly, when it comes to actually choosing a platform, I'd say the reason that someone should choose YouTube over one of these other platforms is for longevity purposes and also lifestyle purposes. I personally think that YouTube makes sense because let's say you're doing a podcast like this one, right? Taking a 5 to 10 minute clip out of this and cutting it down, you can do that. And so you can have long form content. You could have technically the way to grow a podcast on YouTube today, something I've been deeply investigating because I'm about to start my own, is that you have a long form channel that is only that podcast. You have another channel that is just the 5 to 10 minute clips or 15 minute clips. And then you have another channel that is just shorts. And they all will kind of work together to build that initial podcast following. And then, of course, you can take those shorts and you can put them out on different platforms. But I very much pride myself on, I don't want to be on Instagram. I don't want to be on TikTok. I don't want to be on LinkedIn. And you don't have to. And that's so freeing to me.
Oh, 100%, 100%. I just want to confirm what I heard then. You're not talking about, you mentioned three channels. That's three separate channels, not three separate like playlists within the same channel.
Three separate channels.
Can you explain why?
Yes. If you are someone that is watching cooking TikToks, you probably don't want to watch a 15-minute cooking video. It's a different audience. If you're someone that wants to watch 15-second human design tutorials, you might not watch an hour-long podcast, right? Mm-hmm. So you really, they say, same audience, same channel. Different audience, different channel. And that includes the type of content that is being digested as well.
Wow, I've never heard that before, and it makes so much sense. And this comes back to what my prediction was, and you've just answered it in a very different way. People like to consume their content in different ways. I don't enjoy watching, and I don't watch long 10-minute videos, but I will give but if you can give me the snapshot in 90 seconds, 2 minutes, I'll take that every time. It's not that I don't want the information. I just don't want it in long form.
While I mainly watch long form.
My husband's the same. And I'm just like, oh my goodness, haven't you got it all? But he's also got the one in his profile as well.
There you go.
And for those that haven't figured out, we're sort of like talking about human design in between all of this. Because I think it's really interesting when you start to understand that there's not just the way that we like to consume content or create content, but there's a whole host of other people that like to consume it in different ways because of who they are.
Yeah, and that's why I think, like, I've dove very deep into the world of YouTube and researching it and figuring out why this person has blown up and they've only posted three videos and in the last like 3 weeks and they have 150,000 subscribers. And I've been doing this for 6 years, almost 6 years, right? And sitting at 70,000, right? So there's all this like conflict that also arises as a creator, and you look out and so you go and you try to learn. At least this has been my journey. So I recently, I have to give Daryl Eves credit. He has a course called Channel Jumpstart that I recently went through, and that tip of really having three different channels to grow a podcast comes very much from him, who he is basically the mastermind behind Mr. Beast. I definitely like originally looked at him and was just incredibly triggered by him because he very much talks about viral, 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 viral. And I'm all about authenticity.
Right? Right?
What's coming through me? What does my soul call me to do? Right? And so I think there's these merging of worlds that it's helpful to investigate and to figure out what's the best way to do it. And then what's the most realistic way for me to do it? And not hold ourselves to a standard that you're never going to meet and then beat yourself up because you're not going to get there. Not all of us want to be Mr. Beast. I don't want to be Mr. Beast.
No. However, being able to take exactly what you said, being able to take those lessons for how he did it and applying it in a way that's authentic to us, and that's a whole different game. And it's the smart game.
It is. And honestly, there's a huge trend right now on YouTube of creators that are saying, okay, I want to create because I want to create.
Yeah.
Recently, there's been a huge trend with a lot of YouTubers quitting the platform, like major, huge people stepping away from what they've built. And so it's kind of created another like layer of the people that are kind of remaining, or they have decided I'm stepping away from how I've been doing it and I'm stepping more into authenticity, even though I know this isn't going to grow my channel. And so it's really shifting the way things are going. So if anything, now is the perfect time to get started on YouTube to see what your authentic voice, how it's authentically coming out, and begin to get strategic and get learn all of these things almost once you've already had your voice naturally come out.
Yeah, and I want to add to that, I think that even when your authentic voice is coming out, there's many of us, actually just about the whole world, as we're coming into this new paradigm shift of pivoting and trying new things. And your authentic voice, even when it comes out, it's like, I can't kind of quite find my place. Like, how do I want to talk about this? Like, what's really important? And there's this experimental phase where we need to talk it through to be able to give clarity to that authentic voice. Because for anyone that's been through a pivot, man, I wish that you had clarity on day one, but it's not like that, right? It's a messy, muddy, you know, horrible, it feels horrible of like going through the trenches of like, what is this? So actually being able to just start and see how it evolves, see who is attracted to that, then see, you know, what happens next is actually, you know, it's something that there are many marketers that say, don't do that. And then there's the other side where I'm like, no, go for it, because you don't know what's going to happen. And that taking action will help you get clarity. And the people that are in your world, they want to be on that journey with you. They're not going to be saying, oh my God, I shouldn't know what she's talking about, because chances are they're going through that messy journey as well. And they just want to be there and surrounded by others and go, yeah, I get that. I get you.
Absolutely. I'm the queen of existential crises when it comes to your brand and all the things, right? And like, I've been going through a pivot myself. So I think even if you start, like you said, like even if you start knowing what you want to do, at some point in your career, you know, personal brands are a lifelong journey. If you're stepping into that game and playing that game, what you started with, you're not going to want to continue talking about. And so giving yourself permission to, if you don't know at the beginning what you want to do, giving yourself that permission to play is going to build that muscle when there's X number of people later on down the road that are watching you take very messy action, right? That's almost scarier when there's an audience.
And so vulnerable, right?
Very vulnerable. I'm going through that right now. And it's like the self-doubt game that you have to have a very strong inner world to be able to take that step. So totally. I always say, be grateful for slow growth.
Yeah, I love that. I love that so much. I do want to talk a little bit about that with you because I love where you're going. But before we do that, can we get just like a little bit technical for a bit before we go into that conversation? For people that are listening going, all right, okay, I'm going to do this. I'm going to fully step into the YouTube game. You've talked me into it. What are some of the things we need to really consider to make sure that we are successful?
Yes. The number one thing is sustainability. What can you do that would allow you to stay consistent? And ideally, you're doing it weekly in terms of releasing. That does not mean that you're shooting and editing a video every week. Once again, that's a very different paradigm to Instagram. With Instagram, TikTok, all those, you pretty much do have to shoot every single week to keep up with the, or even every day, right? Being a projector in human design, someone who is a non-energy type, I cannot shoot every day and keep up with the game, right? And so with sustainability being the number one goal, I have a course called Launch with Video, and it's the system that I developed to be able to create 4 videos a month in one day, where I would sit down and I would film 4 videos in a sitting, and then I would outsource the editing, which I highly suggest everyone does from the beginning. The next thing is, the more that you can cut down on preparation, that also cuts down massively on the amount of time it takes to film a video. That does not mean that you're going to sit down and you're going to wing it. You want to have a structure. You want to have an outline. You want to have the general direction of where you're going, because if you don't, you're going to lose your audience, right? Their brain is taking too much to be able to connect those things together. So the more that you can structure your video into steps or tips or a vlog story that is an A to Z type thing that has these different scenes in it that you kind of know how it's going to piece together, then the more you can allow yourself to really come out in front of the camera on the day that you're filming in a way that aligns with your energy for that day instead of how it was when you scripted the video. Right? Because what happened for me is I would spend 3 hours scripting a video. I sit down to film a video. It wants to come out differently today than it did back then. Right? And so that puts blocks in your path to actually getting up and running. So really the like format for the easiest way to grow a YouTube channel is to focus on education first and foremost. And because it's like tutorials might be kind of boring to watch, but people are searching for them and they're so easy to create. Let me tell you. Okay. So tutorials, you sit down once a month, you have 4 topics, you film those videos, you outsource the editing, boom, you're good to go. That'd be my tip.
Is there anything else that people need to know? It's just as simple as, here's my name of my channel. I need to do some sort of keyword research. I need to record the video, get it edited, and put it up. Like, is that, I mean, I know that this is a podcast episode and we're not going to go super, super deep, but is there any other like high level things that people really need to think about or start to look into?
I would say the first thing, like I get this question a lot, is like, what gear should I use, right? The technical aspects of that. So instead of investing in a camera, which is always the first thing that people want to invest in, I would recommend upgrade your phone. I say video changes your life, and it changes your life in terms of the phone that you have, the camera that you use, and how your house looks. Okay. If your house has zero aesthetic in it, it's time to move out of that bachelor pad and make it look good. Like, hire a designer, do something to have some sort of aesthetic. Look at our backgrounds, right?
Yeah, it's like beautiful. It's the first thing I notice. Your background is stunning. It's gorgeous.
And yours as well, right? There's like, it just looks really good to have the decor in the background, and flowers go such a far way. Right?
Oh, we almost have identical best, flowers. Right? Oh, look, our flowers are the same. Mine's just the short version.
Exactly, exactly. And like, I am someone that has, I want to have a green thumb. My sister has a green thumb. Her plants are amazing. Mine consistently die. So like, both of these are fake. Right. Like, and this, even this is like a fake flower pot, right? I have one that's real over here. So I have one. Anyway, so like, flowers go a long way. Art goes a long way. Color goes a long way. Adding pillows to the couch, adding something on the wall, right? So I would say those things are way more important than you investing in a camera. The second thing that I would invest in is a microphone. This mic that I mentioned, it just, I'm not like planning to have this. I just am a creator. So they're all sitting around. This is the DJI wireless mic. It's a little bit of an investment. I think usually it was 350. I think actually recently I looked and it might've dropped 250, but they're amazing. You can use them with your phone. And then when you upgrade to a camera later, you can use them with your camera. You can actually use it with your computer, and you can have it be a mic that you use for Zoom as well. So that they're very versatile. They're very plug and play. There's plenty of tutorials online for how to like get really good sound out of them, like, which you don't even need to because it's plug and play, but you can optimize it and look up tutorials. So from a gear perspective, those would be my tips. And then of course, lighting, the more you can avoid the sun, the better, because that will increase editing. Like, it will make editing so much harder, because if you're doing long form videos like this, you can't tell that the sun's changing, right? I'm actually just very lazy and using sunlight right now, but for Zoom, because this is a consistent interview, but if I was editing it, it would look different with every shot, every take that you do. I know I'm rambling, but like, for example, I really like to, when I record, I don't do a video script in one go. No, that's not how filmmaking's done. You say, hey, I'm Amanda, and in this video, we're gonna talk about X, Y, and Z. Hey, I'm Amanda, and in this video, we're gonna talk about X, Y, and Z. Right. And you do it in sections like that. And so you might take the beginning section, and then 5 minutes later, you nail the next section. Well, that sun has moved. So having a very cheap lighting solution that's just soft boxes can massively help as well. So the last thing that I would invest in is a camera.
I love that. And you're right, with our iPhone, well, I'm not an Android user, so I know nothing about Androids, but, you know, we switch it to 4K. It comes out, like, amazing.
Exactly, especially with cinematic mode, right? Like, when you swipe over on one of the newer phones and it blurs out the background. Yeah, that's incredible.
Yeah, so good, so good. Now, we alluded before that you're going through this like little shift with your brand. And I did not know this until we started chatting today, because what's cool about this is that you're bringing human design into your video work, which I think is so cool, because you're able to create this strategy that really marries beautifully. What was that?
And you create a strategy that aligns with your soul and your life purpose and all that stuff.
Absolutely.
It's like, yeah, it's such a perfect fit.
And this is, I think, where we're going. You talked about it before. Like, we're just, since 2020, the world changed. We came out of the back of that time differently. It's just like, we just want to be authentic. Like, things feel different. Things have changed. You're a projector. You're a non-energy type. You're someone that needs to wait for that invitation. How specifically has the finding this out and researching human design helped you in understand more about what you're doing, I guess, not just in business, but even in the way that you create your video content?
Absolutely. So human design was pitched to me as your map for moving through life without resistance. And a lot of people, they can be hesitant about it because like, I don't want to be put in a box. Don't put me in a box. Mm. Don't tell me how to do my life, right? It's the opposite of that. It's an experiment. It's something that you learn something about yourself and then you go observe it in the unfolding of your everyday life, right? So when I first learned I'm not a doer, I'm here to be a guide, it was like, and you don't have energy. I was like, what? Like, that doesn't resonate with me, right? Like, and you're highly sensitive because I have all these open centers in my chart. My chart's almost entirely white. Uh-huh. I have only two defined centers. But then as I began observing it and I began recognizing, I was going through this year of 2020 where I did 3 live launches, which was very much a manifesting generator type strategy, which manifesting generators are here to be gladiators, go out, make it happen. I started looking at different mentors that I have. Amy Porterfield has been a huge influence in my life, and she's a manifesting generator. Go figure, right? And so I realized, and I was raised in a family of manifesting generators. And so slowly, really what human design has done for me is I discovered what I was not. And then as I began to let go of what I am not, who I am is really rising to the surface. And I'm only about 4 years into it, about to hit my 4-year mark. So I'm not even through the first deconditioning cycle, which they say is 7 years to really return to who you are. And for me, with content and my online message and how I go about creating content, like that tip that I mentioned about scripting, I have a completely undefined throat in my chart, which is the 3rd chakra mm-hmm. down from the top when you're looking at it undefined for the audience. When you have it undefined, you have an inconsistent way of communicating with the world. Mm-hmm. So why would I hold myself to a script that I wrote 3 days ago when the activations have changed? And then same with a undefined G center, which means I don't have a consistent direction or a consistent identity. Okay, that's going to be very hard for someone like me to niche, to choose one direction of where I'm going, because at some point in time, it's going to feel like it's time for me to let go of that direction and move into a different direction.
Mm-hmm.
So those two have been huge, as well as an undefined ego of proving myself. Like, there's a tendency when you have that to hold on to life and to like overcome this like innate self-doubt that you have by going out and achieving and making your like building up the ego to look better than you are. And every time that you do that, it's going to pull you off your authentic path. And so as I have let go of, do I think I have something to prove? And I say that 5 to 10 times a day, it massively redirects my energy and allows me to stop initiating and allows me to sit back in my chair and actually love waiting for the invitation and being like, you know what? Like, the invitation is magical. I don't have to go out there and be this person that wants to get attention and has to prove myself. I get invited on podcasts like these, right? Like, it happens. I get invited into courses. I get invited into all these different things. It's just such more of a magical journey than me living in a place of burnout and bitterness.
Totally. Totally. I love that so much. Amanda, I've absolutely loved chatting to you. I love your energy. I love the way you talk about things. For the people that are listening, what is one thing that you want to leave them with today? Whether it's, I mean, I'd love to tie it back to the video, whether you want to bring that human design piece in. I don't mind. What's coming through for you? What do you want to share? What's that lasting impression that you want to leave today?
Absolutely. So I'm about to rebrand. I'm about to like rework my whole website, which I'm very excited about. So you can go to AmandaHorvath.com probably by the time this podcast comes out, I might be live. But in general, I have so many resources that I've created throughout the years to get people up and running, especially on the video front and more coming out on the human design front. And so one resource, really, you can go to YouTube and look at any video on my channel and go into the description, and you'll see all those resources from a 4 steps to master video and launch your online presence webinar that I put over 100 hours in. It's valuable in and of itself, whether you end up joining the course on the other side of it or not. Quick start guide to video, quick start guide to human design. So I'd say follow whatever your gut tells you to do. And if you want to get into my world, I'd love to meet you.
Thank you so much for coming and shining on our podcast today. It's been an absolute pleasure chatting with you.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Thanks for joining me for this episode of the Influence by Design podcast. If you want more, head over to influencebydesignpodcast.com for the show notes and links to today's gifts and sponsors. And if you're looking to connect with other experts who are growing and scaling their business too, join us in the Coaches, Thought Leaders and Changemakers community on Facebook. The links are waiting for you over at influencebydesignpodcast.com.